Hello and welcome once again to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. We've got another cracking programme for you, 45 or 50 minutes of our finest. Of course, we do have our very own Simon Ferry join us today, and once again we've pulled it right out the bag. We've got a guy who'll give us at least two or three good minutes before he has to go for a hammy. Simon Donnelly, the former Celtic, Sheffield Wednesday, St Johnston, Scotland star, former Dundee United, Partick Thistle, assistant manager. Simon, good to have you.
How you doing, guys? All right? It's a bit harsh, but I've actually did my calf this morning, so you're not far off the truth.
We've got right for Saturday's
I hope so. Stan's promised me a massage, not off Stan, but he's got a couple of guys coming over that are going to hopefully work their windows and he'll be fit for Saturday.
Flying. He looks flying, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's looking well, isn't he?
He is.
To be fair, he's only 23. a wee exclusive for the programme for the listeners.
Yes.
Simon Ferry. I can't say Simon because it's too size. Simon Ferry. Wee birdie's told me the bulging beside you has lined up. Cheeky wee game of golf with Hristo Stoichkov.
No way.
On Friday.
Ah, well, your birdie's correct there.
Not far off it,
am I? I was actually saying it's possibly.
Don't reveal the name of the course.
I'm not going to reveal the name of the course, but it's probably the first time in my career I'm a wee bit starstruck with a football player. Remember watching him as a kid, Barcelona and Bulgaria, 94 World Cup. So
just the 2 years, like?
No, it's a four ball. It's a four ball.
And who's the other two? Obviously Stan.
Stan's, that's the Bulgarian team. I've not got my Scottish partner yet.
You need a bigger name than Quiddy. You're bringing Stoichkov, don't you? Hugh Keevans or
something. It's a wee bit surreal, but I'm looking forward to it. Should be good.
Give me a shout, Sid, if you want
to. I'll do.
Anyway, better on with the show. We're going to talk about the topics of the week. As you can imagine, the Celtic Rangers, the old firm class, Celtic winning 1-0, the first derby of the season. We're going to get right in about that. We'll be looking at the incident involving Alan McGregor and Christopher Iron, the decision by Willie Collum and subsequently the SFA panel. Alan Stubbs has lost his job after four league games. I find that quite incredible. Simon's a former teammate of Alan Stubbs. He'll speak well about that. And we'll also look ahead to the Scotland games, Belgium on Friday night and then the Nations League opener, Albania at Hampden on Monday evening. So stick with us for the next 45-50 minutes. I'm Mark Goody and it's going to be another cracking show. Right, Simon Donnelly, 1-0 Celtic. Comfortable victory for them on Sunday?
Totally comfortable. I was eagerly anticipating the game. I think there was a lot of noise came for Rangers, you know, the start of the season. The feel-good factor with Gerrard coming in. And I was intrigued to see how it would pan out at the weekend, but it was kind of normal service resume for Celtic, if I'm being honest, especially first half. You know, Rangers, for me, I'm not sure how he went to set them up, but it certainly didn't look as if they believed they could hurt Celtic, and it was only a matter of time before the goal would come.
Did you make it, Si Ferry?
Oh, I had to watch it back this morning because I was about 8 Guinness deep by the time the game kicked up. The Peterhead boys went out to watch it in a pub, so it was half Rangers, half Celtic.
You just in the middle?
I was just sitting in the middle, yeah. The Rangers boys couldn't believe it, couldn't believe the tactics. It just seemed to me like they were there for a draw.
No.
And, you know, Celtic been on a wee bit of a low, shall we say, with the negativity they've been around the club. The one thing you didn't want as a player is somebody to come and pressure you. If you're not doing too well, you've not been doing well, the last thing you want is an Old Firm game, somebody to come and pressure you. The one thing you do want is time on the ball. And it just seemed to me that Celtic had so much time on the ball. I mean, yep. Celtic's best player in Cham, not one person got near him and put a boot at him. Sitting back behind the ball, kicking long balls up to Kyle Lafferty. I mean, that's not been Rangers all year.
No.
So it just baffled me why they came here and played like that. Why he never just stuck to his guns and had a good goal.
Maybe there was a lot of new players in the Rangers team there experiencing this particular game. And, you know, to me it looked as if there was a few of them thinking, wow, you know, unfazed, because as you say, nobody laid a glove on Celtic. First half, it was waves of attack. I think Rangers had one effort. Can't remember who it was at the edge of the box, over the bar.
Yeah, Ryan Jack.
But it just seemed to be waves of attack. Uh-huh. You know, and even from the first, I think Rangers get the centre, and it went back to your man Tavernier, and he's put it out the park, and it just set the tone for Rangers. After that, I think Celtic kept the ball for the next 4 or 5 minutes. And it was just like that from the off. You know,
see, as a coach, though, Sid, see if you're Steven Gerrard, surely you look at the Hearts game and think, right, how did Hearts beat Celtic?
Listen, I was doing Celtic TV And we looked at the Rangers team, and I was asked about Lafferty and Morales playing up front. And I says, if I was Gerrard, I would have went with the two. I thought it was a bold move, but for some reason, on paper it looked bold, but when it came to the kickoff, it didn't look as if they believed in it.
No.
Morales wanted to foul and complain. Lafferty, who has been a thorn in the side of Celtic at times with Hearts and Rangers before, wanted to fight with Lustig rather than play football. It just, they didn't offer anything for me.
Even Lustig, I think Lustig struggles with somebody running at him.
Yeah.
Kyle Lafferty's not that sort of player.
No.
I think Lustig doesn't mind the physical battle.
He wanted to go physical, and for me it played into Lustig's hand.
Definitely. I thought they'd put Wee Kent up against Lustig, let him run at him with the two up front, Lafferty going bash, Boyata and Ayer about, but just kind of baffled me the way that Gerrard went about it.
I said, as much as, you know, Rangers were probably disappointing, although it was only a 1-0 defeat for them, how much credit is due to Celtic? You've already mentioned Nsham. Brownen and Nsham were terrific in the middle of the park. Boyata and Ayer behind them, and as you said, Simon Ferry, a bit of negativity or a bit of doubt surrounding Celtic going into this game, but, you know, any questions, they certainly answered them, and the manager did too, with tactically the way he set up.
I think that's a sign of a top team and a top manager, isn't it? Guys that have maybe had a bit of negative criticism over the past couple of weeks, I think you could see for the first minute Celtic were right up for the game, both the manager and the players. And again, Nsham and Brown, I mean, Nsham's he's the best midfielder I've seen here for years. He's got everything. I couldn't believe how fit he looked, getting the ball back, tackling, and he always passes the ball forward.
I've watched him for last year. I think when he first came in, you know, I covered a few of the games, he played a wee bit defensively, I thought, and then whether it was a conscious decision or whether it was just him getting his cell into the team, you know, he started playing further forward, started making forward passes, started scoring goals here. He's become a goal threat. I mean, we get the goal at the weekend there off him, and he almost has another one, a fantastic save from McGregor. But am I right in saying he's only 21, 22 as well? You know, he's only going to get better.
Nsham, and even I think at the moment, if Celtic wanted to, they could have got £10 million off Porto if they wanted to last week. They could have sold him. They could have sold him if they wanted to. The agent was trying like a bear to drum up interest. He got interest, but Celtic
had they never
resisted. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't lose them all at the one time. But Nsham, you're right, he's going to progress into something right at the top drawer, isn't he?
I think he is.
Even Boyata, he showed again why a lot of good teams want him. You know, the negativity he's had against him the last two games he's came back, and Celtic look a much better team.
I think he's
the
best.
He's the
best centre back, you know, and he's always, centre backs are always, show me a centre back that doesn't make mistakes. I think sometimes his mistakes are over highlighted, you know. I think he went and had a really good World Cup with Belgium. On the back of that, there's interest there, but I think the boy's taking a bit of confidence for that as well.
He's,
since he came back in and the Green Brigade had the banner up last week, he's strolled every game. He's strolled the three home games there, and he's brought an assuredness back to Celtic. You know, when Rangers did press for the last 15 minutes or so, if we can say that, he was always the one that had his head on it, getting things cleared. I think he's really brought something back to the back four there.
Even just, you know, Celtic thought they were going to lose Boyata at one point, probably, over the past week or two. He stayed, but they did lose Dembele with an hour or two to go before the window closed. From a footballing point of view, I'm sure for Brendan Rodgers, it would have been a blow, albeit the manager sanctioned the move at the end up because of the way Dembele was going about his business. But when you take a wee step back now and look at it, to pull in £19 or £20 million for Dembele is an outstanding piece of business, isn't it?
Aye, I think so. And I think from a management point of view, I think Brendan had no choice. You know, I think it was documented he took him off midway through the training session the next day. And that could unsettle the camp, you know. And I think after that, and you know, you can wipe the slate clean, get a bit of business, get the money in. But you show, or they show, you know, how they've been winners over the last 2 years. They regroup in that changing room, and as Si says, come out and prove a point again. You know, whenever a question's been posed at Celtic over the last couple of seasons, they've answered it.
I think Brendan's had it with the madman Balotelli, ain't he? I think he's had, when you've got a guy in your dressing room,
of course,
a bad egg,
you
know, lost him his job basically at Liverpool. And having heard him speak to coaches and stuff like that, the one thing he doesn't like in his squad is guys that didn't want to be there.
So it's great though if you have got a problem player, but you can pull in 92, and okay, he didn't manage to get the benefit of that because the window closed a couple of hours later, but if need be, in January, you know, if it's tight domestically and you're maybe looking at your next European campaign in the summer, it's a fantastic war chest to have to go and strengthen your squad in January if needed.
Yes. I mean, Celtic are sitting, you know, rosy in terms of finance. I think that was maybe a frustration with the fans. You always want new faces in. But as you say, if it gets to January and there's people on Celtic's coattails, they can go and invest again. I think with Edouard towards the end of last season, taking confidence for the Rangers games, I think he's looked a different player for me. He was the best player, or his best performance rather, in the 5-0 game here. And with Griffiths, I mean, he scored his 100th goal the other night. I always keep saying Griffiths for me was the best striker out of the three. And when he's getting a run in the team, he always scores goals.
The thing is, they only play one up front as well, don't they? So it's not like they need three strikers.
They tried two up here.
Edouard and Dembele played together, didn't they, earlier in the season in Europe, didn't they?
Was it Griffiths and Dembele last week at Hamilton? It didn't quite work, but again, that was because Hamilton had everyone behind the ball. There was no space to play football at all. You know, yourself, you're trying to probe and getting frustrated. But I think in Griffiths, you know, and I think he'll be gutted that he never started at the weekend after getting the 100th goal on Thursday night, but he's always a threat.
In terms of just to touch back on Rangers, I mean, you're looking at Brendan Rodgers, who's had 2 years, four or five transfer windows, and, you know, riding the crest of a wave domestically anyway, week after week. So for Rangers then, it'll be a wee bit of a wake-up call for Steven Gerrard, in terms of he knows what the benchmark is now, and as much as he brought in 12, 13 players in August, which have helped them get into the Europa League, which is a terrific achievement, they're going to have to maybe go again and try and up the level of quality in one or two areas in January, aren't they?
Aye, definitely. I think the Celtic game is always going to be the barometer, Mark. I think reality check, but the 3-3 with Murrow last week, you know, in the back of, I think they defended quite well. I haven't seen a lot of Rangers until the weekend there, but I get annihilated on Twitter last week because I used the word momentum with Rangers, but what I meant was they were quite buoyant after Gerrard coming in, and the fans are buzzing, the place was buzzing. You think, right, okay, let's get to the Celtic game and see where yous are at, and for me at the moment it's quite obvious they're still way behind, and that can only be...
But to be fair, that's totally understandable.
Aye, of course it is.
New manager, of course it is. 12-13 changes.
He's brought in 12-13 changes. From a coaching point of view, that takes time to get your ideas across to this group of players, but I think he'll also need to go and strengthen. He'll need to bring even better players in, and that will be January, obviously.
And Gary McAllister, number two, a guy you know well, international teammate of yours, Gary will know that too, won't he? They'll be working tirelessly behind the scenes.
Both of them are experienced. Yeah. I said at the beginning it was a good appointment for Rangers, Stevie Gerrard. He's an impressive figure. He's an experienced guy in football. He'll know what he needs to do. He'll probably be even more knowledgeable after the weekend. And Gary's been over the course as well. But it's players. It's players that you need, and time with the ones that they've brought in.
Certainly the next Old Firm game, December the 30th at Ibrox, so a few months to wait for that, but certainly on their own turf, Rangers will be looking to put in a better performance, that's for sure. Just to finish off on the Old Firm topic, Simon Donnelly, you're a veteran of many Celtic Rangers games. Pick your favourite one that you played in.
Favourite one? Out there, we beat them 5-1. Lobo's first game. My first one was special. We spoke about it before with no Celtic fans at Ibrox. You know, 19 playing at Ibrox, four walls of blue. It was an experience, but my favourite one, because at the time it was a difficult period for us. You know, we didn't win many, and the 5-1 out there was sweet.
Celtic Park,
guy.
Good for you. Well done, Simon. Right, move on to the next topic. We could have asked Si Ferry.
I had a good under-13 game I played against under him. Got 20 minutes at the end, that was brilliant. When I came
you never know, you're still young enough to sign for Rangers or Celtic again, you just don't know. Right, one of the incidents at the game on Sunday was Alan McGregor when he kicked out at Christopher Ayer. Referee Willie Collum didn't see it, didn't take any action at the time. It was then handed over to the SFA, and they've decided to take no further action. What did you make of the incident? And for me personally, I feel for Willie Collum, because you guys know better than me, you can't see everything.
No,
I think Willie took his eyes out of the fridge the morning of the game, didn't he? No, to be fair, it's hard, isn't it? You know what I mean, the motion of the Old Firm game is 100 mile an hour, it's hard to spot that. It's just, I'm so baffled, how can you kick somebody and it's fine though? I don't just mean Rangers, I mean throughout the whole SPL now this year.
Well, it's also been deemed that.
But why?
The kick's
why is it being deemed?
Force.
I know, but why is it being deemed that a kick's all right now? Mm. Because well, it's no, you can't just run about. You can't just kick people on a football pitch.
But it's obviously in the eyes laws. Of the law.
Yeah,
there's
but
two
why?
Types of kicks now. There's a petulant kick excessive force, and clearly they've deemed Alan McGregor's one to be petulant rather than excessive.
Surely it would just be much easier if we just say if you kick somebody it's a red card.
Yeah, I think so.
And then nobody will be arguing about whether it is or whether it
isn't.
I
think I was behind the goal and I seen it happen, and in fairness to the ref, I can't believe I'm being fair with refs, the way the game panned out there, I think Rangers had already broke, the play was already going away for the goal, but the linesman's right here. The linesman's right down here in the corner, and he, for me, at the time I says, if he's seen it, or if it's been spotted, he's off. You fast forward 3 or 4 days, it has been spotted on the telly, and with the compliance officer, or whoever else is, the panel that's looked at it, and they've decided he's no off. It's baffling. I mean, he's a friend and ex-teammate of mine. I don't want to go on here and, you know, say I should, but if you do that in a game, I expect if the referee and the linesman see that, he's off, so I don't really get 2 or 3 days later why they can't overrule it.
Si, Stephen Gerrard said that Rangers probably get away with one there in terms of it. You know, Alan McGregor, as much he was top draw on Sunday, he'll just need to be careful, because that's one thing that Rangers, any team, don't need that, particularly losing a goalkeeper.
No, he's a bit of a madman, isn't he? But that's why probably the fans love him, do you know what I mean? He's got that fiery temper. He cares, do you know what I mean? You can tell Alan McGregor cares, he wants to win. He's not had a top career for no reason, he's a winner. And by the way, I think he's been excellent since he's went back to Rangers. He was brilliant again.
He's been
on
the signing
Sunday,
of the season
right?
So far in Scottish football, I would say.
I mean, he's been outstanding. But just back onto that thing, and then you get guys like Gary Dicker, who's got a 3-game ban for trying to tackle somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's never a red card, Gary Dicker's. Yeah. I mean, if that's a red card...
It's the same
card,
ref, Ollie Colin, wasn't it? You're right, I don't think that was ever... And I was surprised when that went to review, that was upheld. I mean,
and you can see why guys like Steve Clarke and that go off or not, can't you? You can.
Now, watch Sky Sports every Monday morning, and it's Dermot Gallagher comes on to give his review.
Yes.
And they reviewed that one last Monday, the Gary Dicker.
Right.
He tackled Dermot Gallagher, said never a red card.
Never.
You know, you know Alan McGregor well, Simon.
I thought you were going to say he knows Dermot Gallagher well.
No, I don't know Dermot.
Would you agree the save low down to his right for the Encham shot that he put onto the bar, the pick of the bunch?
It's a great save. It's a great save, and I went on record at the weekend saying, obviously, it's probably stating the obvious, but if it wasn't for McGregor, it could have been 2, 3, 4 at the weekend. I know he had a couple other ones here that you'd maybe expect to save, but he was still... Callum McGregor puts a ball in here. For the one that he actually ended up lashing out, he's brave, he gets rid of it. There's another one at the near post with Encham, but the save second half was fantastic. It was a great save.
What do you think? I mean, you're still playing in the game.
Very badly. Huh?
Is there now a feeling about particularly these incidents in big games at the top level that you can get away with a bit more now in terms of your behaviour on the park?
No. See, in the lower league, see if you're down in the lower league, you're off. Mm. I've seen guys getting sent off for that. Just a wee kick here, you're off.
Yeah.
So that's why it's baffling me, because it's murder ball in League 2, do you know what I mean?
So it's lacking consistency then?
Definitely, I think so. I mean, I can't even tell you, what is a sending off now? I'm still playing, so that's a worry, isn't it?
Mm. And you've got all the cameras at such a, you know...
In these big games,
high, you know, it's...
And like we said, I think, well, Colin was what
sending off is. There's no hiding place in these games with the cameras nowadays. And for that to happen and them to turn the other way and say, nah, it's not excessive force, it's confusing.
Who's making these rules? Is it Shuggy Dallas?
No,
they're blaming Shuggy. Neil Doncaster and Shuggy Dallas, man. Rewriting the rules.
Directives from FIFA and UEFA, and it fills it weighs down. And then John Fleming, the referee's chief.
Who would be a ref, though? Who would be a ref? I try to referee games in training. It's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the one with Brown... Really, maybe you could argue Disney shouldn't slide in for that one and put yourself in a position. But
on Lafferty,
there's no contact. Yeah. But at the time, even me watching it at live time, you think, oh, that's a bit naughty. But you watch it back, Lafferty floats in the air.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no contact. So, as I say, who'd be a ref? Mm-hmm,
£1,000 a game for a referee.
I'll do it. I'll take abuse for night. I'll take abuse for a week. I'll take abuse for 90 minutes for a grand. Easy.
You need to take a £2,000 cut for yourself, Peterhead. No, really, he will. Right, anyway, on to our next bit of the show. I can't believe this. Alan Stubbs, sacked after four league games, you get Kenny Miller, sacked after two league games, you get Ray McKinnon leaving Morton to take over Falkirk, you've got Paul Hartley sacked after three league games, you get Barry Smith sacked at Raith Rovers. Is it just me, or is the manager, because we always spoke about how there was a lack of patience down south, up here now, it's just not right, is
By
it?
The way, can I say something? See, if you get sacked after four performances, I'd have been sacked through open goal, but a year and a half ago,
persevere me. Persevere me.
Still
meeting the benefits now.
Really? honestly, and you know, if we're concentrating, Alan Stubbs is the highest profile one this week, and you know Alan well, you're thinking, what is going on?
Listen, I seen him at the game, you know, he was at the game at the weekend, and there was no sign of anything, you know. Football nowadays, are you surprised with anything? Mark, I mean, people are saying to me, I've been out coaching at first team level for almost 2 years now, and people say, but you'll be dying to get back in, and you're thinking, why for things like this? You know, he's taking that job, the board have gave him the job. I seen in the paper yesterday, oh, he's got rid of the players for, maybe he deemed the players that got them up, weren't they going to be good enough to be the ones that kept them up? You know, if you give him the job, you've got to give him the time. Four games is ridiculous.
I agree, but I watched the last two performances, and no through a lack of organise, but the players were not playing for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched the highlights on Sport.
I get that impression as well.
They weren't even running back the pitch.
It's always been like player power.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's been a conscious decision made, we're not having this guy for whatever reason.
Exactly, 100%. And I think as a chairman or an owner, if you're the boys are getting their all for the manager and you can see that, then you can stick. But their last two performances, Derek Ferguson watched him at Livingston the week before and said, one of the worst he's seen in the SPL, that performance. I mean, how long do you wait?
How long do you wait? Why don't we reach a stage then? Because that's where you need a strong chairman stroke chief executive, Gordon Scott, in this situation. It's at Mirren. See, rather than just bulleting the manager, if the players look as though they might have chucked it, why not get yourself down into the dressing room and have a word with the boys?
If a chairman came into a dressing room with me, I wouldn't listen to me. And that's my God's honest truth.
So would you rather just see the manager?
I wouldn't do that personally. I wouldn't do that to a manager.
But it goes on.
But
it does go on.
On the other side as well, the fans just never took them either.
At times, it does go on. I think Hibs with John Collins, Frank de Boer at Crystal Palace. Was that the start of last season?
Yeah, four games.
Frank
as well
de Boer, who had been at Ajax but deemed not good enough for Crystal Palace after four games. The game's crazy. As I say, the guys that have appointed them, so they've made the mistake. So who's accountable there? You know, it's just, for me, it's mad after four games. But I think I said at the time, it's the way football's going. You know, you don't get any longevity anymore. It's knee-jerk reactions here, there and everywhere. And sometimes they pay off and sometimes they don't.
We had Ali McCoy yesterday at a William Hill event at Hampden, and Ali was asked the exact same thing about, you know, would he go back into management? And he says, no way. Affected my health. Affected my life, couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, it was, you know, extremely difficult circumstances at Rangers, but he says now he's got media work, he's relaxed.
Him in Brazil, living the life.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, but you're right, Ellie, why would you? Absolutely. Why? I didn't know he slept in for his
sleep.
Only for 50 minutes. But when you look at it now and you've been there, Sid, you think, you know, 5-6 weeks into your job, you could just be told, see you later.
100%. And listen, the other side, it's even it's good. You know, I had good times at Partick, really good times at United. We've spoke about it before. You know, when you're scoring four goals again, and watching the football, it's great. But see, when that turns, you know, if you lose players or you're going through a sticky patch and you've not got people there that can see you through that, then it's so volatile.
How will Stubbsy be feeling? You know him well. How will he be feeling now, do you think?
I don't know. I seen him here at the weekend. He was disappointed, I think, with the defending at the weekend. They gave away poor goals, I think, on the stroke of half time. They were 3-1 down or something. And he would have been hoping for the time to turn it. But I don't know. Maybe relief if there's been a revolt from within. Maybe relief, you know, because I've been in dressing rooms as well. I was in a dressing room down at York, you know, where I didn't feel we had the backing from the minute we walked in.
The players said,
aye, there was stuff going on in the background before we even got there. So you're fighting fires before you even get there and try to put your stuff across. So when that kind of start sprinting through a dressing room, it can be difficult.
It baffles me that the boys haven't took to him as well, because obviously he's been on here, top man he was. And the guys at Hibs absolutely loved him, you know. And you think, he's probably went and done the exact same thing at St Mirren that he's done at Hibs. And it's just your luck whether one group of players takes to you and one didn't. But I think it was a hard job going in after Jack Ross, wasn't it? Because the players hung on his every word. And I think it was a tough act to follow. And it's similar with Kenny Miller at Livingston, I think, with Hopkins, you know.
So whoever goes in, obviously, at the moment, the Maron, there's not been a replacement yet for Alan Stubbs. I believe it'll either be
Ray
Jim
McKinnon.
McIntyre or Jim Ray McKinnon. But just while that job's available, and obviously, I think St Mirren might have missed the boat. He'll tell Terry
Venables
as he starts part
bound. Oh, I was saying to you, I watched the game with Four Guinness on Sunday. It was with Terry. Terry was in the boozer
with.
The Peterhead Airport.
Peterhead Airport.
We'll get Terry
the St Mirren job.
You think Terry would fancy it? Nah, it's a bit below him. He's looking for someone more high profile than him. He says he wouldn't stay in Paisley.
Ah, well, we'll see if the Peterhead job comes up. we'll see if we can get him over there. But whoever takes over, Jim McIntyre, Jim Goodwin, whoever it's going to be, they'll certainly know they've got to get in and sort that dressing room out and leave them and, you know, let them know in certain terms who they gaffing
are. For me, I would go Jim Goodwin if I was St Mirren, because I think the fans have got a big part at St Mirren. I think they're very vocal, the fans, and I've seen on Twitter the last couple of days they've really been wanting Stubbs.
That's a good point, because I think when Stubbsy was appointed, you know, there was a wee bit unrest within the St Mirren fans. Yeah. I don't think it was a favourable appointment, which I was surprised about, again, after what he achieved at Hibs. But yeah, certainly with Jim being there and being part of the Cup winning side, you know, he'd already have, you know, fans on side before he actually stepped into the role.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who gets it. And we're looking at Livy, back-to-back wins.
Well, flying.
In the league, St Mirren away, Hibs at home, they're terrific for them. Gary Holt in the door. I think did we all tip Livy to go down?
Yeah, we did.
Are we looking at St Mirren now, or is the change of manager going to, you know, revive?
Can I just say something first? Gary Holt has got the biggest knot in his tie I've ever seen. How does he do that? Have you seen it?
No.
It's an absolute Windsor Fae helmet. It's the biggest thing you've ever seen, man. Right, I just wanted to get that out
of there. Can you believe
it? I worry for Dundee, by you.
Aye.
Again, watch the highlights by Dundee. I don't want to slaughter people, but the goalie doesn't look like he can make a save. No. They don't look like anyone can score up front. And for me, that's a sign of a team that are going down.
Yeah, right. I mean, I remember Ross County last season had two or three goalkeepers, and it just wasn't happening for them under Jim McIntyre to start. And then Oney Coyle. Mm-hmm. And you're right, you know, if you've not got a keeper that's going to help you win points, when you look at the young fella at Livingston, Liam Kelly,
good goalie,
pulling off saves. Mm-hmm. You need that, don't you? And you're right, it's a great point you made about Dundee.
And I couldn't believe he played Kenny Miller right at three up front, 38, and you've got the graveyard shift up and down the right hand side. Needing a goal scorer, play Kenny Miller up front. Couldn't believe it, eh?
I think it's a good acquisition over the time. When he was at Rangers and stuff, I thought he was always one of the better players in the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. I think he'll bring that experience, and I think he'll bring goals in the long term. But they need to get some results on the board, you know, just for confidence throughout the club. It was a bad one against Motherwell at the weekend. But I think with the unrest at St Mirren, it'll be interesting to see who comes in and if they can get points on the board quickly.
I think Livy's pitch will be a leveller as well. I know that's horrible to say, but I really do think it will. I seen a one, Paul Hanlon tackled the guy, and he nearly looked like he was close to Dennis Cruciate on that pitch. You know, he tackled him, and I thought, his leg's going to go. But they've taken to the pitch quite well. And I told you the boy Pittman, didn't I, last year?
Yeah.
Scored two already this year. Another boy burning in the middle of the pitch.
I don't remember you mentioning Pittman.
When they were in the playoffs, I said the boy Pittman will score goals.
Must be on the phone to get mixed up.
But Livingston, I know it's a pure knee-jerk reaction, but I think they'll stay up.
Right, let's glance towards the top then, and touching and Hearts. And you know, I'm sure everybody in the programme as well wishes Craig Levein a speedy recovery and hope he does well. But absolutely, what about Hearts? Said four wins out of four, and all comfortable, all good. You know,
great
really
start,
good
great start. Really competitive against Celtic at Tynecastle, similar to the performance last season. And it's captured the imagination. You want teams up there, you know, challenging the likes of Celtic last year. At one point, we had Celtic, Rangers, Hibs, Hearts, and Aberdeen, five of the big clubs in Scotland at the top of the table. Results at the weekend have kind of changed that a wee bit, but I firmly expect those five to be up there. And aye, go and give the likes of Celtic and Rangers a challenge. Aberdeen have been the one over the last couple of seasons. Hibs last season had a really good season. They've lost a couple of their good players. But Lenny seems to find, you know, goal scorers on the back of that. I think McGinn will be a tough one to replace. But aye, brilliant for Hearts, you know, it's exciting.
They've got a great spine in their team, didn't they, Hearts? Yeah. I mean, Suter looks like he's came age now, didn't Suter he? Bera no playing, yeah. He's a captain and that now. Thought he was excellent the weekend. The boy number five in the middle of the pitch, I think he's a really good player. The Austrian boy.
Herring.
Yeah. Very good. Every time I see him, he's impressive.
And then Piazza up front.
And then you've got a Piazza and you've got Naismith as your front two, you've got a chance,
don't
you?
He's a big boy, he's got a lovely first touch too.
Yeah, he absolutely bullied Sintman. He did. And Stephen Naismith at 31. If you can get him flying, you've got one of the best players in the leagues.
I remember back when we were talking about, you know, you mentioned the word momentum 5-10 minutes ago there, Sid. I remember, so you begin back to season 05, 06 possibly, 06, 07. Hearts of George Burnley as manager. And 12, 13, 14 games, then the wheels come off, the Romanov influence eventually undermined the manager. But if you are Hearts and you get to game 7, game 8, and you're still right up, you think, hold, wait a minute, this could be something special.
Well, you're accumulating points. Now, I'm not bringing up the likes of Rangers now, but Rangers find themselves 6-7 points behind Hearts now. Yeah. So, I'm not saying just Rangers, but if you're accumulating points at Hearts, nobody else can afford to fall behind. Mm. You know, Celtic are obviously on their coattails now with the one defeat. Aberdeen have experienced a defeat at the weekend, but you can't afford to. If Hearts keep going in this run for 6, 7, 8 games, all of a sudden, if you're the kind of teams round about, maybe with your eye on second place, for example, you're suddenly off the pace, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. And they'll have money to spend in January. We'll laugh at his money and that if they wanted to add to the squad. But you tipped him for second, didn't you?
I tipped Hearts for second. And
you
then
said Dundee third, though, didn't you?
Then, the night that Rangers signed Lafferty, I changed my mind. So listen, still change it back again. You never know, we'll see how it goes. Right, we're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. We're into the last 10 minutes of the programme. Willie Collins looking at his watch to see if I've got any injury time. Simon Ferry's with us as usual, and our special guest this week is the one and only Simon Donnelly. Now, Si Ferry, people just think we just pluck guests out of the air. It's just you go on the phone and whoever's kicking about,
it's
or whoever,
me, isn't it?
Whoever's hanging about up at the five-a-sides pitch. But there's always method in the madness. And part of the reason I've got Sid on is because Andrew Robertson has been appointed the Scotland captain, and a brilliant move, and good luck to Andrew and to Scotland. But Sid was part of the management team that signed him for Dundee United for Queen's Park, and you must have extra pride in that appointment for the young guy.
I do. I was so happy when the announcement was made with Andy. It's a perfect marriage for him, you know, with the captaincy of Scotland going forward. He epitomises everything about a Scottish player for me, you know, determination, drive, will to win. He's such a role model and an inspiration. I think I went on Twitter the other days. Hopefully he will inspire young kids. You know, he's had setbacks early on in his career. He bounced back for them. He went down to the Premiership. He's went to a Champions League final. I think he'll win things with Liverpool going forward. And to get the captaincy of the Scotland national team, it's fantastic.
What do you make of it, sir?
Ah, brilliant. It's a dream come true, isn't it, for him? It's, what was it? That tweet cracks me up, innit? Rubbish being this age. Have you not seen it? Rubbish, no. It was like 5, 6 years ago. Rubbish being this age, got no money. Can anyone give me a job?
Yeah, is that right?
Obviously, when he started going.
So was it Queen's Park?
Queen's Park, and he was working. Somebody told me Marks and Spencer's.
That was right. Uh-huh.
And then I think he was doing bits at Hampden as well, just to make up his money. Came to us, not in a big deal. I think I said before, and I think Jackie promised him, if you get in the first team, we'll rip it up and we'll renegotiate. True to his word, they did it within 5-6 games maybe.
Did you eventually beat the Martin Spencer's hourly rate?
We managed to beat that, only just. But listen,
what was he good at, Sid? Saying straight, could you tell straight away, was it
aye,
a right good player?
Aye, you could. We went over to Germany and Spain pre-season to play in pre-season games, and he played them left back, and he forced our hand, because you're thinking this young boy came in quite quiet, unassuming for Queen's Park. You're thinking, right, well, he's maybe one for the future. Mm-hmm. Maybe dip him in and out. He forced her hand pre-season. He says, I'm going to be a left back. Mm-hmm. Every performance that season was out of this world, just rampaging forward. I think he scored 5 or 6 goals. And I said to you before, it got to the point we couldn't afford Andy Robertson. Couldn't afford to keep him. He was away down to the Premiership with Hull.
Tell me this, was he on your radar at Partick Thistle?
I think Jackie knew of him. Because, as I say, Jackie, I think, went to see him for two games at Queen's Park. And I think a game in, realised, yep, we could work with this kid.
Sorry, just to, and maybe I've spoken about it before, but if we just, he's just been appointed the Scotland captain, pinnacle of his career. Can we just strip it right back? Do you know the initial contact, the tip-off, or how did your and Jackie's interest come about?
I think it was brought to Jackie's attention. Mm-hmm. And Jackie, I remember Jackie going to a game and a half with a friend of ours, and the guy was saying, Jackie's already spotted this boy after 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I remember meeting him, he came up with his parents to have a look round the training ground. I don't know if he'd signed, but I remember him coming up with his representative. Again, just this young kid, I didn't know him. But he certainly stamped his authority on our team initially, as I say, pre-season, took to that left side. You know, we gave him the platform, go and play. He was an attacking left back, he scored 4, 5, possibly 6 goals. And to go back to what Si's saying about what he offered in training, because we had so many technical players there. We had Golds, Armstrongs, we brought in Sifji, GMS. But he was the one that we always looked at with the drive. He would run through anything for you. He would fight with a guy if he had to. You know, if it was a Sifji in training, he wouldn't shy away from anything. Right. And it was just that desire and drive that... I knew he was going to go on to bigger and better things. I definitely did. And Hull and then when Liverpool came, I thought, that's a perfect, it's a shoe-in for him. I was actually surprised it took him that long to get in the Liverpool team, because I think he played the first game, get man of the match.
Right, against Burnley, I think, at Anfield, yeah.
Himself out for a wee while. Yeah. And Klopp, maybe... You know, had a wee word with him. I was like, play the boy. And as soon as he got in the team and got the jersey, he's never been back.
Even lesser guys, maybe with their head would have gone, eh? Playing that first game, man, the match, not playing again. Aye. But
it's a drive, it's brilliant.
He seems humble as well, Sid.
He's a great boy. He's a great boy for a nice family. Up through the Mearns. Hasn't he forgot his roots? He's up there doing coaching and stuff, helping the kids. He's just, you know, one of the ones that's brilliant when you see something good happening. He deserves everything.
And he's sensible as well, because he loves old Open Goal, doesn't he?
He does,
uh-huh.
Does he follow you, does he?
I need to get him on, definitely.
We need to get him on. It's every Scotland captain's duty to sit down and get the airship board off them by you for 45 minutes. You're in the lower leagues. Are there other Andy Robertsons out there?
I think it's getting tougher and tougher. Like Sid says, I think there's plenty of boys with the ability, but I'm finding less and less there's boys with that drive. Mm. And I think Sid said he's seen Mackay Stevens and Armstrong, and they all had the ability, but not many of them have got the drive that Robertson's got.
And
yeah.
Ability to make the sacrifice.
And I do see that. I see that in young boys, and it frustrates the life of it, you know what I mean? Talented kids who just didn't want to give it their all, which is nothing worse.
So now that Andy Robertson's the captain of Scotland, we'll look at the national team. So he's obviously going to play. What are you thinking? We've got a friendly on Friday night against Belgium, so Alec McLeish is in a position to try one or two things out. But when it gets to the, if you want to call it, the real stuff on Monday night, the kick-off of the Nations League against Albania at Hampden, what are you thinking with the Andy Robertson, Kieran Tierney conundrum? How does it solve itself, Sid?
I'm not going to tell
Alec how to play or how to do his job, but... I think you've got to play him and Tierney. You've got to find some position for both of them. Now, I think Kieran's played left of a three before. He's also played, I don't think he's a right back, you know.
No.
I think that takes a lot out of his game. But us as a nation, we can't afford to leave Kieran Tierney or Andy Robertson out. It depends what shape. I would play Kieran left back and Andy left mid. Mm-hmm. I'd play if it was a 4-4-2. I think Andy could play there. Yeah. Or whether you play him there and you play Tierney in one as a centre back. I think Kieran
left centre back of a three, or left centre back of a back four, and Andy
either,
left
either,
back.
Either way. I think this is the time for us to go and experiment a wee bit. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just don't feel we can leave both of them out. I think you've got to play both of them.
You have definitely.
It's up to them to find a way. But I'm always going for being bold. I think you could play Andy on the left. And either if Tierney's in one or directly behind him.
The way Liverpool attack, he basically plays left midfield anyway for him, doesn't he? He's always in the other half of the pitch.
I was at Anfield a couple of weeks ago, the Brighton game, and it's funny because you watch Salah and you watch Keita that's playing now, and Van Dijk,
and he just fits seamlessly. You would think that he was
taken
away from your own country, but he was an international superstar. You'd think he was a Spain left back or the France left back. He is just so polished.
But do you know what he's done, Mark? He's taken for every platform that he's been given. He's like at United, you know, he had a license to go and attack. You know, somebody would fill in if it was a Payton or a Rankin would fill in for him. He's obviously went down to Hull and it's a different thing. It was maybe dogfights, but he had that bit in him as well. He could do that. Now he's in a better team. He's lifting his game because he's in a better team with better players. If you play with better players, you become better. Everything's simple with Andy. You know, simple ball. First ball he sees, gets it, gives it back. And he's got that thing about him that he's always in the front foot. Mm-hmm. He's always want to go that way and push them back that way. He never thinks negative. Mm-hmm. And he's just will to win. It's every platform that he's got, he's used it to his maximum to get everything out of him.
I think Scotland have got a lot of players that want to play on the front foot, and then that's what kills me when we come and play defensive with these players. Go and have a go. If we get beat, so what? It's not like we're winning all the time anyway, is it?
Yeah, true.
Go and play and try and win a game, I think.
So Robertson's got the captain. Kieran Tierney was tipped for it as well as being a possible contender. Obviously, Alan McLeish has made up his mind. You can see why, probably, you know, to be fair, Andy Robertson's playing at a higher level. He's 2 or 3 or 4 years older, Champions League final, etc., etc., so you can understand that. Kieran Tierney will be fine about the decision, though. I mean, we're talking about professionalism and being humble. You know, Kieran Tierney will just, looks to me as though just one of those guys that will just give his all regardless when he's a captain or not.
I don't know Kieran personally, but watching him at Celtic Park, I think he's out the Andy Robertson mould. Mm-hmm. He's only 2 or 3 years behind him in terms of experience. He's captain Celtic, he's captain Scotland, nothing's fazed him. Alec McLeish will be looking at his dressing room and hope for like 4, 5, 6 captains in there.
Yeah.
You know, as was the case back in the day, you know, you had 4, 5, 6 guys that would have the authority in there to control the dressing room, control the team, and have a good effect on the younger ones. Now, I know these guys are young, but they've got the experience, they've played a lot of games for Scotland already. So I think you'll be looking to these guys as... Kieran Tierney for me is another leader. Mm-hmm. He's another leader, and it can only be good for us to try to qualify for things.
Okay, right. Last couple of minutes of the programme, I've got a top striker on with us. So
I play midfield, mate.
I was about to say, who are you talking about? I've seen me at the sixes.
Keegan and Tosha. Right. So we're pretty much, with all respect, we're now left with one striker, Lee Griffiths. Holly McBurney's had to pull out with injury, which is a blow. With that in mind, and the competitive game not coming until Monday night, Sid against Albania, what do you do with Lee Griffiths against Belgium? Do you give him 45 minutes and just keep your fingers crossed that he doesn't get injured? Or what do? Do you wrap him in cotton wool?
I'd start with him. I don't think he's had a lot of game time this season yet. We're still in the early parts of the season. I think to give him some more game time, because I think even watching him at Celtic, he's just finding his stride just now into his season. And when you get a full up to speed Lee Griffiths, he's a threat for us, as we've seen before at Celtic and Scotland. So I think you give him some game time. I think you're right, we have to have our eye on the more important game on the Monday night. So you maybe give him a half, maybe give him an hour.
That is a worry, because he does pick up quite a lot of injuries,
doesn't
he?
Thing,
you know, and it's the
I think you know what I'm saying, though. I think he's one of his, he needs. I've watched a couple of his performances this season. He needs to find his stride.
And he's that sort of player.
The Suduva game the other night, he was getting the boost of the goal. Then a wee setback, he doesn't start at the weekend. I think he needs some game time.
Also, as well, the both games being at Hamden, it just gives him a wee taste of the Hamden pitch as well again, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the fans love him after the England game and stuff like that. So yeah.
Regardless of who the starting 11 substitutes that Alec McLeish uses on Monday night, if we are serious about topping this Nations League group, which will guarantee Scotland a playoff position for Euro 2020, we have got to win this game. There's no excuses, no hard luck, no will I draws, no bad. We have got to win this game.
I think we're in good spirits. I mean, I think most of the players that will play are in good form.
Yeah,
you know, McGregor, Armstrong's playing down south, doing well. Is Kieran injured now?
He certainly missed Fulham's game, so I think he's out of the score.
John McGinn
playing well. Robertson playing well. Ryan Fraser at Bournemouth doing really well.
Charlie McGrew. Suter's doing well too.
So I think most players are on a high. You know, I think it's a right good. It's a good squad. I like the squad. Looking at, I fancy Scotland to finish top of the group.
Right, final question: who's your goalie, Alan McGregor or Craig Gordon?
I'm going to go Alan McGregor.
Alan McGregor. Yeah. Who will Alan McLeish pick, Sid, for the main game on Monday night? Tough choice, eh?
It is a tough choice.
I think
choice.
Because he's had him at Rangers, he knows him inside out, I think he'll play McGregor.
I would go for McGregor as well.
Right, Alan McGregor. I'd probably agree with that. It's 3-4 Alan McGregor. Right, brilliant. 47 minutes, Sid. 47 minutes, eh? Brilliant. That's the longest he's lasted.
2 minutes over a half, yep.
That's no bad. He's warmed up for the other game with Christo Stoichkov on Friday morning. I'm just going to head up to the driving range and out to get some practice in before I
called in at the
day. Before I pack my on Friday. Listen, thank you. Once
you see,
again.
If you do play, though, dinner wear the trousers with the ass cut at them, all right?
Thanks again for joining us on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi. Big thanks to Simon Ferry and to Simon Donnelly, and we'll be with you again next week. Have a good weekend.